We're live. And we finished last time talking about Avshalom, and Avshalom as the Ben Sorero Moran is being the lesson about Ben Sorero Moran. He's rebelling, and fundamentally what seems to come from is the fact that his father doesn't rebuke him, gives him everything he wants, but doesn't pay any attention to him. And that's all Avshalom really, when we see Avshalom's relationship with David, that's what we see he wants, and that was verse 22. Remember, Avshalom El Yoav, Hinei Shalachti Elecha, I sent to you, Lemar. Bohena, I want you, Yoav, to go to the king. I'm going to send you back to the king, Lamar. Loma Bati Begushur. Why did I, Avshalom, come back from Geshur? Totally owed Anisham. I'd be better off still there because David, my father, will not talk to me. Let me see the face of the king. Not even my father. He's as the king. Let me see him. Even if he's going to say, I'm wrong, he's going to send me to death, at least I have that there. We quoted Elie Wiesel about the opposite of love is not hate, it is indifference. And that's where Avshalom is, and that David basically is paying attention to his legacy. He wants to build the Beit HaMikdash. He has one son who he knows he's going to build the Beit HaMikdash, that's Shlomo, and the rest of them, they can have the money, they can have their Merkava and the people running in front of them and all that, but they're not part of David's life. So what does Avshalom immediately go out and do? He's back in Yerushalayim. He's got some sense, some position. He says, Vayikra'el. So what he does is he immediately starts to undermine his father. And that's where we're going to start looking at the text here in Shmuel Bet, Perek Tetvav, Pasuk Bet. Yishkim Avshalom. Avshalom would, this is an ongoing thing, he would get up early. In contrast, usually, you know why we can say Shema until, whatever, 9 o'clock or so. It says that B'nai Melachim, that princes don't get up until 3 hours after dawn. So Avshalom was an exception. He was eager. He was getting things done. He would get up early. V'amad al yad derech hashar, he would stand by the gates of Yerushalayim. The kol ish, asher yelo riv. And anybody who would be coming into Yerushalayim who had some kind of argument, some kind of case, levo al ha-melech l'mishpat, be coming to the king for justice. For judgment, we saw that David clearly had whatever office hours, time when he would be available to the people. We saw that with the Isha Chokmah Mitkoa. And so Avshalom would be sitting there waiting for people to line up. Vayikra Avshalom Elav. And Avshalom would call Elav, we said, was giving importance to the person, not just inviting him over, but saying, you're an important person here. Vayomer Mi Ze Irata. And Avshalom would ask this person, where are you from? What city are you from? By Omer, and the person would say, Me'achad Shivtei Yisrael Avadecha. I'm from one of the tribes, wherever it was. By Omer, I love Avshalom, and Avshalom would say back to the person. I'm going to move this over here. Re'ei Devaracha Tovim Unachochim. Look, what you're saying, it's good. Whatever your court case is, I'm sure you're right. Unechochim, and literally nechochim is from vikuach. It is arguable. I think in English, debatable means I disagree with it. Arguable means you have a good, something that's worth, you have a case that's worth arguing. You're coming to court, I think you're absolutely right. At least you have a case here. And that's the mitzvah tzion. Nechochim, tzedukim sheroi l'hitvakeach b'hem. You have something to say. As mishlei meshiv derim nechochim. You can make an argument here.
Has he told him anything other than what city, what place?
That, right. So that I think is a literary point. Clearly, I think we're implying that Avshalom doesn't really care what he's saying. Right. I'm sure there's more conversation going on here, but what we were told is just, you know, Avshalom, whatever, your neighbor's ox gored your sheep. Avshalom doesn't care about your sheep. He just wants to tell him how wonderful you are and you should love me. I'm Avshalom. He's saying, you're absolutely right. I mean, this is kind of the, I know, Sarah's not here to hear this, but you know, it's like when I'm listening to Sarah, I go, So Avshalom is definitely telling this person, what you said, you're absolutely right. But you're not going to get a hearing in front of the king. Avshalom, so Avshalom would say, all right, it's kind of in the air. If only I was a judge in the land. You know, you're right, you have a great case, but you're not going to get a decent hearing in front of the king. If I was a judge, obviously everything would be fine. Balaya, if only I was a shofet ba'aretz, Balaya vokol ish, and then people would come to me, Asheyeh Rivu u'mishpat, they would have some argument, they would need some kind of judgment, and I would give them justice. That's what Avshalom, this is everything he would, everyone would get up in the morning, he would get up in the morning, he would meet everybody at the door and say, you're right, but the king's not going to listen to you. Maybe if I was the judge, things would be right. But there's a lot of subtlety in here. I want to look at that. The biggest thing is that he's not talking to people who are in Yerushalayim. He is standing at the gates. People are coming to Yerushalayim and talking to people who are called Ishesher. They're from Me'achad Shiftei Israel, from one of the other tribes. Because there's always been this historic tension between Yehuda and the rest of Israel. And that never went away, even under United Kingdom. That fracture was still there. It was being plastered over. Rav Shalom's basically sticking a crowbar in there and trying to break it. And we'll see that when, in the time of Shaul, when they're going to war, and they're all winning, and then this is after Goliath, and everyone, you know, they're all together fighting, but still it's called, source 26, Likumo Anshei Yisrael v'Yehuda. There's Israel and there's Yehuda on the other side. They're working together, but they're not the same people. They are around, they blew their trumpets, and they recruited Plishtim, and they chased the Plishtim. It's great, but still, they're still separate, Yehuda and everybody else. And even under David himself, he unites everyone. He's king in Hebron first, and then the other tribes come to him and make him king as well. But still, B'chol Yehuda, B'chol Yisrael v'Yehuda ahavat David. Yisrael and Yehuda love David. They don't even think of themselves as the same country. And this is, I love British history. So this is kind of what happened with England between Scotland and England. It's at some point in there, before they became a United Kingdom, there were separate countries with one king. This is a composite monarchy, everything it's called, or a personal union. So you have one ruler who's basically the ruling both of these, governing the territories as though they were separate kingdoms and according to local traditions and legal structures. And I think that's really what Yisrael looks like here. I think even maybe more than just Yehuda and Yisrael, but every single one of the tribes felt themselves to be independent, but under a common government. Kind of like federalism, but I think more, less unified than that. Federalism in 1864, when the states were already deciding whether they were going to leave or not. That's the kind of feeling there. So Avshalom is telling them, you know, you're coming from some other tribe. You know, David's just looking at Yehuda. He's not going to pay attention to you. That's why the Malbim looks at it. That's why he cares about the other people. Source 29 is Malbim. The Rashkot Lachol Ish Al Adotav. And he would ask everybody who come in about his story. I Shishalu Meza Irhu. And he would even ask what city they're coming from. Kishoked Ladat. Like he's so eager to learn everything about this person. Now, some people have that talent to make it, you're talking to them and it feels like you're the most important person in the world to that person. I don't have that. I can't make eye contact. I have to concentrate on that. Some people come naturally. Like, I really care about you. Avshalom really cared about the person he's talking to, even though he said he had no idea what the case was. He's not really listening. But he's eager to learn all about everything about him. Ad Makom Ugaratav, even where he's coming from. Acharei Shomei Devarav, and after he heard whatever he had to say, Amar lo, then Avshalom would tell this person, Shedevrov Tovim, what you said, you're right. Lo yimse mishpat mitzad ha-melech, but the king's not going to give you justice. V'zeh hirshish b'libam, and now that's what he planted in their hearts, Shemelech lo yishma mishpatei ha-am. He is telling everybody who's coming for justice that the king's not going to listen to your case, is not going to give justice to the people. Mizik Nota, maybe because he's so old at this point, we'll see. David's about 65, time to retire. He's too old to listen to you. Omi Aslota, because he's too lazy. Begam Histir B'Dvarav, and hidden in Avshalom's words is this kind of a subtle thing that he's planting in the people. Malshinut, the slander. Malshinut Acheres, another slander. The Meshe Sha'al Me'izit Yerhu, asking, where are you from? Omer, like as so he's saying, Shemilach Lyushkod, that the king is only going to pay attention. Rak al Tovat Shivto. The king only cares about his shaven. You're from East Yelmville and Zvulun. King's not going to listen to you. Lo Yeter Shivte Yisrael. The king doesn't care about the other tribes. Shulachem, Hashem Amar Lo, Shuv Me'echad Shivtei Yisrael. So when he hears, oh, you're from Zvulun and Yisachar, She'eina Mishpachat Melech, you're not related to the king, Amar Lo, Kishomei Ein Lecha Beit Melech, you're not going to get a hearing. You're not going to hear anything. You're not going to get injustice from him. And the king's only really concerned about his own tribe, his own family. If only I was king, then everything would be fine. And there's another side of that as well, for what Avshalom was doing here. And you have to look back, remember the Mishpat HaMelech? That Shmuel tells the people, people all come and say, we need a king. We can't do this Shofet thing anymore. We want a king. And Shmuel tells them, fine, be careful what you wish for. You might get it. And here's what a king is going to do. You want a centralized government, a standing army, all the things that go with having a real country. This is what's going to happen. Verse 30. Shmuel tells the people, those who ask for a king, this is what Mishpat HaMelech. This is what's going to happen. You get a king. Hashem loch lahem, we love you. Epinechem yikach. He'll take your children. He'll take your sons with some lo b'merchavto. He'll put them in his chariots and his cavalry. Ratzu lifnei merchavto. They'll be his entourage. L'sum lo sarei alafim v'sarei chamishim. And he'll make them into bureaucrats. Over 1,000, over 50. At least 2% of the country is going to turn into government bureaucrats if you have a centralized government. I think that's pretty low. What's in the U.S.? Who works with federal government? Okay. And they're going to, right, Blach Harosh Harishav, and he's going to make them plow his fields, Xar Xirav, and harvest his fields, Vasokli Milchamto, and work in his military industrial complex, make his tools of war, Kli Rechamto, and all of his chariots. That's what's going to happen. Your children are all going to have to work for the government. And your daughters will become spice makers and cooks and bakers. And he's going to take your best fields, he'll take your best vineyards, he'll take your best olive trees, and they'll go to his people. And he's going to take taxes. You're already paying maser, you're already paying 10% for the religious maser, you get another tax, 10% tax. Tax is going to double it to go to the government. They'll go to his ministers. And your servants and your finance young men, and your donkeys, he's going to take them. And he's going to use it for his own work. And he'll take taxes from your sheep, and you'll be slaves to the king. You want a king, that's what's going to happen. And you'll cry out then when you realize this. For this king that you yourself wanted. Hashem's not going to answer you. Hashem's not going to go, listen, you asked for this, that's what you get. And they get Shaul and they get David. And now Avshalom is telling them, that's the subtlety. Because when he's asking for what he's saying back over here, who'll make me a shofet? He's not a shofet as a judge, but a shofet in the time of the shoftim. He's saying, having a king makes things everything worse. If only we could go back to the good old days of sefer shoftim, when there wasn't any king. You didn't have to worry about that king taking your taxes and taking your people and having levies and all that. Just we need to get back to the old days. He's lying, of course, right? He wants to be king. But this is what it means to be a demagogue. Okay? He's telling them, you've been taxed enough already, not to make any connection with contemporary politics. But that's what he wants. And that's the Mishpat, that's the way the Mishpatot Zahav, Weiss, puts it. That's Rush 31. That's what Gemara says, all the things that are what Shmuel said, the Mishpat HaMelech, that's not a threat about what a too powerful king will do. That is an actual statement of what a king can do. That's all legal. David is going to do these things. He's doing them. Zedictive, that's what it means when it says, Vayi kol isha, etc., lavoa la melch mishpat. And Avshalom is looking for people who are coming to the king, Lishmilishpat. Perush bin yanim hanogim medini hamelach. They're coming to complain about all these governmental matters. My taxes are too high. You just recruited you've just pulled all of my children now after I have been drafted into the army. And all these things that technically are legal under halacha, the king can do them. And when such a person will come to the king, with his complaints, with his case, why do you take my field, or kerem, or ma'ayan, my vineyard, my well, zeh, the ko'evlo, and it hurts him. Why take mine? Why take my neighbor's? You're building a highway. Why go through his field? What's the amendment to the Constitution?
NIMBY. Oh, and no, I was saying NIMBY. No.
Well, you know, I'm talking about what's the
takings?
Illegal takings.
When I take your land for eminent
domain. What's the amendment that I should have looked this up? Which amendment is it? You got a bunch of lawyers here.
I don't know about that.
I'll look it up.
Fourth Amendment. Anyway, they didn't have that in the time of David. You know, they didn't have to pay for it. They just took it. Well, Zehaya Avshalom Meshiv LaOmer. And that's what Avshalom would answer. Tell him, Re'e Devarachach Tovim Nuvinachachim. You know, you're right. You've been taxed enough already. Ki Amisim Va'Arnoniyot Kavod Minaso. Because the levies and Arnon literally means treasure, but it's talking about monetary taxes as opposed to physical things. And the treasure taxes are too heavy to bear.
By the way,
Danny, Arnon is Ada Yom Hazeh, the real property tax for your apartment.
Oh, okay. There you go. So that's you come to the government and say, my property taxes are too high. And Avshalom's telling you, you're not going to get anything. You know, that's what you get for having David HaMelech be the king.
Fifth Amendment.
What?
Fifth Amendment.
Fifth Amendment, yeah.
Thank you. There you go. They did not have a Fifth Amendment in the time of ancient Israel. Because everything you own has been sold to the king. You're not going to get a hearing. And from the king, because the king can rely on his own power. But everything there is luckily okay. David is a tzaddik. He is going to do everything that Torah allows, but one of the things that the Torah allows is taking all your money. Sorry about that. That's what happens when you have a king. You should be careful what you ask for. Well, Cain, therefore, that's why he's not going to listen to you. He's legally right to do that. Because he's the king. That's it. Can't argue with bureaucrats. We just had that trying to get Chani's passport renewed. No, you can take this. It says something. Nope. Avah. So what Avshalom is saying, me neni shofet ba'aretz. Literally, wait, who's going to make me a shofet? Rak b'tur shofet. Avshalom is saying, I just want to be one of the shoftim. Remember the good old days when the shoftim? When it says, right? So they would say here in source 32, Bayamim ha'im emelch b'Yisrael, there was no king. Ish ha'yashar b'inav yaseh. Everyone could do whatever they wanted. I mean, you learn Shteva Shoftim, you realize that's a terrible thing, and it was total anarchy, and there was wars, and everyone's killing everybody else. But that's kind of the nature of nostalgia. Nobody remembers that at this point. It's been decades. Everyone remembers, I didn't have all these taxes. There was no standing army. I could do whatever I wanted. We need to get back to those good old days.
I don't know if this is where you're going to go, but it's like Ben Sura Moreh. I mean, they were ignoring. I mean, the people had no.
I like that.
No discipline is though,
yeah. That's people end up in a state of being dissatisfied or more. I guess what I'm going to go with the point that he's a demagogue. He's lying. He definitely wants to be the melech, and we'll see that. But this is his argument that we need to start rebelling against this the king here. Shofet. So that's he's saying. I want to be is a shofet. I have no rights, all these rights in the Parsha HaMelech, there won't be for me. So therefore, anyone comes to me with these complaints about Mishpat HaMelech, come to me, Liton, but in your name, Misibra, no, they'll talk to me about these taxes, etc. And you can tell me you can't handle those taxes. And a person can't afford these taxes. That they're imposed on me. He said, and I'll say you're right. We're going to eliminate the taxes. I'll listen to you, Litlonoto, and your complaints. Whether they're right or not. That's because I'm just going to be shofet, not melech. So basically, he's saying he wants to be, again, this is a British thing, he wants to be the Lord Protector of Israel. This is anyone know about the English Civil War? This is from BBC Bite Size. Okay, everything about British. So 1650s, there's a civil war. They kill the king, King Charles, and they can't reestablish the government. They have the rump parliament. There's a couple of parliamentarians trying to run it. So Oliver Cromwell, one of the leaders, comes into parliament and shuts it down and establishes himself as the head of the government. He refuses to be named a king. He's called the Lord Protector of England. He's not a king. Everything's perfectly democratic. He has a military. He's running as a military dictatorship, but refused to call the king. His son after him is named the next Lord Protector. So yes, exactly the same thing as being a king, but they make it sound better. So that's what Amshon is proposing. I want to be in charge of everything. But not as a milk.
How was he going to get paid then?
I'm sorry?
How was he going to have money?
He's going to take taxes and he's going to take it from the people just the same. I mean, it's not... Right. I mean, we know how this happens in history all the time. We know exactly how this works, right? He's going to set... Right? Everyone's going to go to him, be loyal to him. He's going to have his own army and he'll reimpose taxes for the good of the country.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, that's what it means to be a demagogue. No connection to contemporary politics whatsoever.
None.
I mean, I never have one. So he's gonna Avshalom is proposing he's gonna be the Oliver Cromwell. I'm gonna lead the people to their new freedom, but he's not. And he emphasizes this again because he has this reputation. He's the beautiful one, is in Mulal Ma'od, Mulal and Yafeb Yisrael, Mulal Ma'od. He's the beautiful one, but still, he's not going to act on it. He is not going to ask for the honor for a king as the text continues. So he's telling this to this person who's not saying outright that the king only cares about his own tribe, and if there wasn't a king, then we wouldn't have all these problems. But he's getting that message across. So each person in source 34 continues, and this person is going to go bow down to him. He's a prince, and he's honoring this common person with actually paying attention to my case. That's wonderful. He's going to bow down. So Avshalom puts out his hand, and picks him up. Don't bow down to me. I don't deserve to be bowed down to him. But now Shaklo would kiss him. The Lashaklo we talked about last time being a formal greeting, not an intimate kiss. And he would pick up this person. You can't bow down to me. I'm just like you. We're all at the same level. And Avshalom would continue to do this for everyone. And Avshalom steals the hearts of all B'nai Yisrael. The people all love Avshalom. He's never said anything directly against the king. He's not rebelling at this point. He's setting it up. And that's where we're going to go next time when he actually starts his rebellion. But the irony about this idea that he's proposing he's going to be a shofet and not impose Mishpat HaMelech is that the only person of whom it is described that actually does Mishpat HaMelech is Avshalom himself. First line of the Mishpat HaMelech was back over here, right? You're going to have an entourage of people running before him around his own personal chariot, and that's exactly what Avshalom did. Avshalom is the one who had a merkava with people in front, running in front of him, David doesn't have that. David is the one who comes closest to actually uniting the country, of caring about everybody else. And we saw that in Parashat, when it says, Vayimloch David al kol Yisrael, making that point, that he was, in fact, the king over all of Israel. Vayi David osem mishpat v'sakal l'chol amo, for all his people. So we had that back in Parashat. That's the narrator telling us that. That that's what actually was happening. Absalom is undermining all of that. And he's bringing back these, he's trying to emphasize these little cracks that are still present in society between all the Shvatim, and he's going to pull that together in order to rebel against his father. I am going to stop here. Any questions or comments?
I just want to say at the beginning, when you talked about Elie Wiesel's comment, the opposite of love is indifference. Basically, Absalom's complaining, why did he have me come back? Basically, he doesn't see his part in any of it. He never right. He doesn't have any charata about what he did to his own sister.
No, right? Amnon is the one who raped his sister.
Oh, so
what Absalom had Amnon killed.
Oh, I see.
That's where we're getting back, that he's seeing David as not imposing mishpat in his own life. Again, at this point, he's kind of gradually changing, but he didn't start out necessarily wanting to rebel against his father. He just wanted the power of being the crown prince and to take over, right? This is David's time to retire. He's 65. Absalom is, we're going to talk about the chronology, he's about 30. He's young, he's powerful, he's beloved. He should be in charge right now, not David. And David just doesn't see that, right? I mean, David doesn't understand that. Absalom is insisting that. David just needs to understand that.
So is Absalom, does he believe what he's saying, that they won't get a fair trial with the king?
I don't think so. That was the point about that. He has no idea what they said, right? We now skips over that part, right? Absalom has no idea what the case was. It doesn't really matter. He's just going to say it, to lignov lev Yisrael, to their hearts.
Where do you see evidence that he took the kids for the entourage? You said he did the first
thing. So look at Tetvav Aleph. Is it up here?
No, keep it back up.
Going back. Can you see my screen? Did I unshare it?
No, you unshared it.
Add a new word to unshare.
It is now. Okay, you got my screen there? Here we go. So this is the first one here. This is previous passage.
Oh, I missed it.
Yes, Absalom Merkavav Shim, Bahamishim at Ishratim Lafana.
Literally. Yes, I missed it. That's right. Perfect.
It is. Right. The text is telling us that this is what he does.
Yeah.
And he starts complaining, no, you should I wish I was a Shofet, which we already know Shofet doesn't get the Ishratim Lafanav.
Right. Nice. Perfect.
That's where he is. So this is going to happen when we're going to figure out how long he does this kind of go lev kol Yisrael. Because we're going to start the next pasuk is going to be vayhi miketz arba'im shana, the end of 40 years. Then Absalom announces his rebellion and gets everyone to fight. But we're going to have to see that, what does 40 years mean in that context? Because clearly it doesn't mean 40 years from here, because that's a long time. Right. He's been king for 40 years. We'll have to talk about what that means. So I will.
Okay.
Thanks, Danny.
Thank you.
Have a great week, and we should.
Thank you, Danny.
Next week, as of now, I'm scheduled to be working 24 hours.
Hey.
Probably not going to happen, because all of our hours are being cut.
Yikes.
So I can probably have a lot more free time, but so. I'll send an email whether we're having an issue next week or not, or whether we have to wait till 2 weeks for 2 weeks.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you.